Well, we're back. Welcome. It's been a little while, but we're back with the Luke Miller podcast. Again, yes, you are talking with the Luke Miller, not just any other Luke Miller in the world. This is the Luke Miller. And I'm hoping, well, I'm guessing that most of you are probably at home now and you're wondering what should you do to pass the time with. And I thought, you know, what better way than just to listen to the soothing sounds of my voice as I do a podcast. Or you just literally can't find anything else better to do, and so you found yourself listening to this. Either way, somehow you found yourself here. I'm glad that you are able to join me this day as we take a look at really moving forward with this idea of what does a church on mission look like. And we've taken a look at a few different areas of what a church on mission looks like. And today, I wanted to take a look at a topic which I think is great for us because it's a slightly odd topic given the circumstances that we're in with the COVID-19 virus and being stuck at home for a good portion of our days and weeks at this point, which is talking about what it looks like for us to be together. Now, on Sundays, we've still been able to gather as churches online, as we are still able to find ways to connect with each other. But I want to go even further than simply just saying it's us meeting together, or even if it's saying meeting together in one place, I want to go further than that. The Bible says that before we knew Christ, we were alienated, not just from God, but from each other. But now, since we believe in Christ, we have been made one with Christ and with his body. And Scripture says that when we come to believe, God positions us into Christ's body, the church. Now, this is totally different from what we're actually experiencing for many of us right now. In fact, right now, it almost feels like many of us are experiencing that alienation of not being able to gather together. And not just from God, but from more so with each other. And we've been encouraged about over the last little while about how we can find solace in God's word, how we can find peace by trusting in God, how we can see that God is in control even in the midst of chaos. Yet there's this one thing that seems to be stopping us, or are holding us back or causing us to struggle, and that's that ability to gather with one another. And what I wanted to kind of focus on today is really just this idea of anything that sounds like serving or giving or sharing our time or bearing our souls to one another in the context of community, sometimes threatens our own selfish urges and our own comforts and the things that we like. And I guess what I'm saying is it's been identified that there's three cultural components that combat community together, that go against this idea of community. And one is individualism, two is isolation, and three is consumerism. And right now for where we are, probably two of those three are ringing very true. See, if community is about gathering together in many ways, and culture is pointing us to be individuals and to spending time with ourselves and focusing on ourselves and the consumerism aspect of things, right now, this individual and isolation part is something that's really coming to the forefront, almost because it's being forced upon us, whether we're sheltering in place or stuck in our homes or whatever it may be for our own context. But what I wanted to take a look at was really coming from the 10th chapter of Hebrews. We'll look at verse 19 forward, but really where I want to focus on is in 24 and 25, which talks about us working together. And what I want to really stress is that as we work together, it doesn't need to necessarily be the fact that we are gathering in one place. God calls us to gather together. We're supposed to gather together as a church. But this idea of togetherness and of community goes a lot further than just the walls of Sunday morning in the physical spots of a church. And so if you've got your Bibles, I think that as we read through this passage, again, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 forward, we can see that there are several points and several key principles that can move us forward to build community even at a distance. And I'm hoping this will be able to be an encouragement to us. I'm hoping that this will be something where we can take and use and grow stronger because of God's word in this. So let's just begin in verse 19, even though a lot of what we have to do with talks about verses 24 and 25. Here's the thing that I want you to know before we're jumping in on this, is that three times in this passage we'll see this the words "let us" happen. And we're going to focus on those and see what that looks like. But let's read the passage from 19 forward through to the end of 25. "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way which he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of faith. Let our hearts with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near." Now, you've caught those statements that start with "let us," right? Let us draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of faith. Let us hold fast with the confession of our hope without wavering. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Yes, it continues on and says, tells us not to neglect meeting with each other, as some are in the habit of doing. But the focus of these three "let us" statements are more on developing community, and it can be that of even for us in this new age of technology and new age of communication, where we're able to still fulfill all of these things while at a distance. These verses have a very beautiful and simplistic structure to them. First, the two phrases describe God's provision, right? First, confidence before God is a gift God gave you because of Jesus and through the sacrifice of Jesus. You'll never earn it or keep it because of how you perform. And that same idea of grace comes in verse 21, since we have a great high priest. Those are God's grace gifts to us. They explain why Christians have a vastly different approach to worship. Out of grace flow three statements of response. And in verse 22, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart." In verse 23, it says, "Let us hold fast to hope." And verse 24, it says, "Let us consider how to stir up." Three times comes the call to do something in response to God's provision in Jesus Christ. Three times we're called to respond because of how God has provided something for us. What is the natural outflow of us being Christ followers? And this picture is being painted in very simplistic and beautiful terms here. And I want to take a look at really these three principles based on verses 24 and 25. And here's the first thing that we can see in this. The objective in community is spiritual formation in others. We see this in verse 24. The command in verse 24 is packed into one word. Consider, if you're a believer, you need to be carefully thinking about not just yourself, but one another. That term consider means to approach thoughtfully. And the writer says that we should give deliberate, be very deliberate about our courses of action. The verse is a reminder that getting involved with spiritual progress of other believers is for all of us. And all of us should be involved in discipling. Being a Christian is very personal, but it's also very public. We don't live to and for ourselves as believers. It doesn't matter what culture has put on us. Christians are now counterculture. We're no longer individualists. And the New Testament urges us to be devoted to one another. Philippians, in fact, tells us, consider others and their needs above your own. Scripture's intent that we outwardly express the truth that we are members of the same body. Again, this is more than personal. This is public. We want to also care for the spiritual formation of others. So, why the careful consideration of others? What is it that I should be turning over in my mind about other Christians? Am I to strategize how to provoke and stir them up? If you think about what that term provoke sounds like, it really sounds negative. And if you think it sounds negative, you're probably getting the right impression. The Greek word was almost always used negatively. It typically means to provoke someone to do something bad, like exasperating them to the point of anger. For instance, that word is used in Acts chapter 15, where it describes the sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. Paul uses it in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, where he says, "Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger." It's a very strong word. And I think we all know how to provoke people. More than anything, I think I usually see this around siblings. When I think of, I've got two sisters and a brother, and I'm the oldest, which you will hear me state over and over, not complain about over and over, but state over and over. And for those of you listening who are the oldest sibling, you fully understand that we paved the way for everybody else, where our curfew was 9 o'clock. Somehow our younger siblings was 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock or no curfew at all. And where you weren't allowed a car until you graduated high school, they were allowed a car the moment they turned 16. You know, all these things that you kind of paved the way for. In fact, now this will actually come across as a complaint, and I'm very fine with stating this. I had to take, I think it was like 9 years of piano. And when I was on the piano, there was the microwave in the kitchen. The piano was in the living room, and you could see both. And I would get up, and my dad would be getting ready for work, and on the microwave he would put in the timer for 45 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, however much I had to practice that morning on the piano. And the moment I would stop, even just to turn a page, I could hear this beep behind me, which meant the timer was paused, probably because he thought I was dilly-dallying or trying to find a way to really draw out whatever I was doing, so I had to play piano less and practice less in the morning. Now, I went through 9 years of that. And then my next sister came along, and she went through about 5 years of that. And then my next sister came along, and she went through maybe like 3 years of that. And then my brother came along, and he got like 3 months of guitar lessons. And again, I paved the way for everything in this to make their lives easier, right? And so as the oldest, I mean, I've got my siblings, and we know how to push each other's buttons just exactly the way that that we should, or maybe should not. I don't know. We know exactly what will trigger the other sibling. Let me give a quick example of this. Is this week it was my sister's 39th birthday. In fact, as I'm recording this, it's her 39th birthday. And so what do I do? I know it's her 39th birthday, but what do? Of course, this morning I wake up and I text her, happy 40th birthday. To which I get the response, you're the worst. And I mean, even as I tell you this, it still gives me joy, right? Because I knew I just kind of pressed that one little button, right? We know how to provoke each other. And don't get me wrong, I know some of you younger sisters out there listening to this are probably saying, okay, well, your sister was right, Luke. You are the worst. And what I need you to realize is that every time I pushed one of their buttons, they pushed two back. So I can give plenty more stories, and I will give plenty more stories the longer we do this, of this. But we know how to provoke, right? It comes across negatively. It's a very strong word, and even though it's used positively here, it has to do with strongly provoking other Christians to some action. Maybe the writer is saying to the Hebrew Christians, you've provoked others, anger and bad actions long enough. Now it's time to do the opposite. There's this objective of stirring up and provoking other Christ followers and others in our community. God wants two results, love and good works, when you start to operate authentically in a community to your fellow Christians. All of a sudden, you'll start loving like Christ loves and doing all kinds of good works like Christ calls us to do. So God's directive is that I help people move towards serving Him more wholeheartedly. This ministry belongs to every single believer. Every Christian you know can be involved and engaged in doing what God has put them on this planet to do. Your task is to help someone find that purpose and get on doing it. It's to get them engaged in where God is calling them and off the sidelines. It's to press people out of what may seem like passiveness and into this investing in others. All right? Again, this all comes from this picture of we need to be, as a community, being a part of the spiritual formation of others. And again, at a distance, we're able to do this. At a distance, or even through the social distancing that we may be experiencing right now, we are able to be a part of the spiritual formation of others. Whether it is us reaching out and with an email or a phone call and doing Bible studies, even over the phone or whatever it may be, we're still able to seek to build the into the others and see that spiritual formation grow. Now, the second thing is that we need to have this commitment as a community to engaging others, right? It's about building into others, but it's engaging with them. Verse 25 says, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some. And this is part of this foundational reminder that for these first century Christians who maybe due to circumstances or hard times, maybe it was that some of them were in a kind of a spiritual drought or spiritually lazy, either made it a habit to stay away from fellowship or they were turning away from the Christian community altogether. Now, again, we find ourselves in a place where churches across North America and the world are, in fact, gathering online. We're not able to see each other on a Sunday morning in person in a building. But that doesn't mean that we can't engage with one another. One of the things that I love seeing is, even this morning, I was listening in to my new favorite online Bible study called Backshed Bible Studies with Cliff Carey. And here you have people coming together and engaging with him as he's doing a Bible study online. And I love that we're still able to engage with others despite hard times, despite the circumstances that we may find ourselves in, we've found a way to continue that habit which God calls us to do, which is gathering with one another. So whatever reasons, and whoever they are, he says to the people in verse 25 that you can't go down this road of not interacting with one another. Again, we find ourselves in a place where this is a little more difficult, yet engaging with other believers, there's this commitment is a call to consistent engagement with one another. To get in that habit of not just ministering with one another, but being serious about the truth that we are members of one another. We are members of this larger community. The believers who received this letter in Jerusalem, just before it, there was cultural and personal turbulence going on at that time. And it was meant to drive them to a more engaging and authentic community. The motivation for us to engage often and regularly is the phrase, as you see the day approaching. The writer may have been describing the destruction of Jerusalem. We're not entirely sure, but the term could also likely be described as Christ's second coming. In any case, the radical change of the future of what's going on in the original context is a powerful reason to commit to each other as Christians, stirring up and encouraging other believers is meant to intensify as this troubling days approach. You get that? That as things seem to get worse for the people in Jerusalem, this is meant to stir them up and encourage them to intensify gathering together, intensify encouraging one another, intensify engaging with one another, intensify that spiritual formation towards other Christ followers. The tougher it gets, the more we're supposed to focus on this. Which really brings us to this third principle, which I mean, I really think that this is kind of the one where we need a lot of these days, which is a community of encouraging others in verse 25. Instead of giving to the tendency that's being described here to forsake community, our task is to encourage one another, and so much more as you see the troubling times coming. I love the definition of encouragement that says pouring courage into someone who needs it. Pouring courage into someone who needs it is probably one of the best ways that we can describe this right now. The word encourage is a fascinating word in the New Testament. It's from the same Greek word as one of the Holy Spirit's names. Jesus calls him the Comforter. That's the word for encourager. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, would come alongside to help. And that's the role God has for us in the lives of other Christians. When you fill the role of encourager, you come alongside to help. So, how do we encourage? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:14 says, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all. In the church, and as a community, we find people at all stages, in all different spiritual conditions. You could be listening to this right now and realizing that you are in a different stage and spiritual condition than you were 2 months ago, or even a month ago, or even a week ago. Again, this encouragement is one that we need, the kind of encouragement that reminds us of God's character or God's promises in Scripture. Biblical encouragement is always truth-based. Some people are weak and need help, the verse says. A brother and sister like some of the folks who are maybe sick right now, or maybe have lost jobs and are struggling right now. But we need to be able to come alongside them with practical encouragement. Encouragement reflects love and good works, it says in verse 24. The encourager comes alongside us at points like when we're discouraged and reminds us of God's truth and lends a hand where it's needed. Let me say that again. Encouragement reflects the love and good works. All right? And so if that's the case, then encouragers come alongside us as a community, as individuals, at points when we are discouraged to remind us of God's truth and lend a hand where it's needed. So what is this going to look like this week, right? I guess that's kind of the big question that we ask ourselves. What does our immediate context look like? And for the people in Hebrews, it looked like discouraging times were ahead. And we read that context first. But as we read our own context, it's not tough to probably turn on the news and see that there are some discouraging times probably ahead. But is that going to stop us from encouraging one another? Is that going to stop us from building into the spiritual formation of others? And the encouragement that comes as someone builds into that spiritual formation of you. Creating that beautiful web and that beautiful network of people who are supporting each other is what this passage is all about. Based on the truth of who Jesus is and what he did for us, this is the natural outpouring and the natural response that we should have. And I think I'll end with there, where we ask that question, are you willing and ready to be intentional about engaging with the people around you in your faith? And taking that extra step to reach out and call someone. And maybe even as you're listening to this and as we're finishing up on this, you're able to say, and in your mind, you've got that name of a person that you're like, you know what, I haven't called them in a while. You know what, I haven't written a letter to them in a while. I haven't encouraged them in a while. Or you know what, I know they've been going through a tough time. I want to just encourage them with a verse or something. But our goal this week is to speak truth into people's lives in an encouraging, loving way that can help see them grow in their spiritual formation. While asking of our own selves, how are we growing in our own spiritual formation as well? I'm going to leave it at that, and I'm going to pray, and then I'll tee up what we'll look at next. But let me just pray first. And God, I thank you for just our ability to be encouraged by the book of Hebrews and you writing to people who were discouraged and dealing with probably a tougher future ahead. Yet there's these encouraging words, these words where you pour courage into their lives that need strength. And God, I pray that you will do that to us as well through others in our community, through others in our church, through other Christ followers, and that we will do the same to others as well. Give us that courage ourselves to reach out. Give us that strength to reach out. Give us the words to say as we reach out. And God, I just pray that we will realize that reality, that we will grow stronger as we build into others' lives and their spiritual formation, as others build into ours as well, as we create that beautiful web of Christ followers and that network of Christ followers who are holding each other up even through tough times. We just pray these things all in your amazing name. Amen. All right. I want to thank you. And I need to probably apologize because it has been probably about 3 weeks since we have done this. And in that time, the whole dynamic of culture has kind of even changed as we've gone through with this whole COVID-19. But I want to thank you for just being able to listen in. And as we build towards this and what's coming next, for us being a church on mission, even in tough times, And there's a lot that we can glean from God's word in this. So thank you for joining me. I will talk to you next time. Take care and God bless.